Folks, we'll make a start tonight to our midweek service, and we're going to sing the hymn 178. The words are up before you here. Come thou everlasting Spirit, bring to every thankful mind all the Saviour's dying merit, all the sufferings for mankind. To those who have been praying for him. As you know, he was very critically ill and he turned a corner. It really was last Lord's Day. I was sending a text this morning early and he rang me. He said it's just as easy to talk to you, although we can detect the weakness in his voice even on the call. But he says, please tell the church folks that he appreciates your prayerful remembrance of the throne of grace. And he's down to 1 liter of oxygen. He was in 60, he was on the highest. He was in 3 different breathing machines to help him. But he has turned that corner, and maybe by the weekend he will return home to recover there. We want to pray for his father. His father is very ill, and that would be a great burden to him at this time. So I'll leave that matter with you. Dr. Lindsay Wilson, I was talking to him today. He is to go to London for some tests. So the Lord's servant has been out of the ministry now for something like 10 and a half months. It's been a long, protracted trial for him. And although there's a little bit of improvement, he still feels his weakness and he needs the touch of the Lord. The Reverend Paul Fitzsimons making slow recovery, not back to preaching at all, but 8 months now since he took on well. And that's lingering on with him. So these are folks that we have on the prayer list, but ones that we want to remember continually. Reverend Garth Wilson, he's improving. And today was the day that he got out of isolation. And he was very glad about that. So for these things and other things in our minds, let's pray and seek the Lord earnestly. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in whose name and upon whose merits we now come to thee. We thank thee for the privilege of prayer. We praise thee for the access that we enjoy. We can come through the rent veil. We can stand in the immediate presence of our God. We can make our appeal to the Lord We can bring our petitions to him. We can come with praise and adoration and worship, and we do that tonight, even at the commencement, to praise God from whom all blessings flow, and to rejoice afresh in our dear Saviour, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank thee for the blood that has cleansed our sins away. We thank thee for the new life that you've given to us. We are possessors, those of us that are saved, of eternal life. We are possessors of abundant life. And there is that joy unspeakable that fills our hearts in the knowledge that it is well with our souls. The psalmist spoke about the blessing of that knowledge. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And Lord, this is great knowledge, to know that sin will never be remembered against us as far as judgment is concerned, because Jesus Christ paid it all, he bore it all, he made that ultimate sacrifice for our sin and came out victoriously. He's the risen Saviour, he's the exalted Saviour, he's the ascended Saviour, who is now seated on high at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. Lord, we bless thee that his eye is upon this meeting, upon every individual believer. And though he loves his church, and the Bible speaks about the love that he had for his church, we're loved collectively, yet we thank thee we're loved personally, individually. And we can get to that testimony of Paul that we mentioned earlier. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. We pray that thou will continue to teach us more and more about the things of God, especially these nights about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he will come alongside us tonight in the wonder of his ministry, and that he will instruct us in the things that we need to know, that he will build us up in our faith. And Lord, may we know more and more of his presence, more and more of his infilling, of his power, of his graces in these days to live the Christian life. Lord, we look out into the Christian world and we see so much of worldliness. We see coldness of heart. We see much backsliding, lukewarmness, indifference. We are reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus when he preached about these days in which we're living, how that the love of many would wax cold. And Lord, we sense that, we feel it so often even in our own hearts. But Lord, we thank thee that the Spirit that we're thinking about, and we'll come to see this in our studies, he is the one who gives us power. He's the one who revives his people. And Lord, we do pray for that. I pray for it tonight personally for me. Oh, that the Lord would come and revive my spirit and set this preacher on fire for the glory of God. And help us, Lord, to go forward. It seems over the past year and a half, much of the Christian church has been standing still and little progress being made because of all the difficulties that COVID has brought. But Lord, may we march on with God, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We remember these folks that are sick, some of our colleagues, Lord. Some of them have been in a very deep valley and are still there in some cases. And Lord, you have a plan and a purpose how we rest in this tonight. And we know that our brethren are resting in this, in the purposes of God for them, even though they cannot trace the steps of God, even though they cannot fully understand why they have been led in such a way. How we bless thee that there is one who is in charge of all our affairs, one who is in control, one who is the sovereign God, who works out his own divine counsels in this world, and his will be done. And Lord, you'll work them out in our lives too. Bless our brethren, bless our sisters, those that are laid aside, these names that we've mentioned, more besides, some in hospital, some, Lord, sick at home, some, Lord, may be able to get to some meetings but still feeling their weakness. May they know your strengthening touch. May they be encouraged in these days. And so, casting all our care upon Christ, we praise thee. He cares for us. Hear this, our prayer. Continue with us in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. So we bid you welcome tonight to the meeting in the Saviour's great name. I haven't got the apparatus here to look at yet, but I'll keep glancing behind just to see where we are. Friday night youth fellowship, Samuel is the speaker, looking forward to it immensely as he takes up the subject, the parable of the friend at midnight, that great subject of importunity in prayer. And the young people, I trust, will be blessed, challenged, and stirred in their heart to keep on at the door knocking, keep on asking and seeking the Lord. It's also Missionary Council for the Missionary Council representatives, 8 o'clock. And it's also the installation of Raymond Morrow, who becomes the minister of Bush Mills. And you'll know this is by invitation only, but it is broadcast on Facebook page that belongs to Coleraine. Pray for him as he goes there, that the Lord will make him a mighty man of God in that place. Prayer meeting, Sabbath day, 8 o'clock. Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class, same time. Both of them are here in-house. Worship service, as we continue with our meditations in Mark. And then our farewell for Simon Anderson at 7 o'clock in the evening, with the time of prayer beforehand. Remember, Kirsten McMullen, his sister-in-law, is singing. I'll be bringing a wee word to encourage him, word of exhortation. And please remember the love offering. The loose offering of the evening service will go as a love offering to our brother Simon. We've enjoyed having him over the past year, and he's got to phone quite a few of you, especially the shut-ins and the seniors, and he's got to speak to them, not only on the phone, but sometimes in their home or on the doorstep, whatever the case might have been. On Monday, the 20th of September, it's the graduation service there in Portadown for the students and also the other students that are starting back at college. This will be broadcast live on Bethany's Sermon Audio page. On Monday, the 21st of September, it's the, that should be Tuesday, the 22nd of September, okay? It's the retirement service for Margaret Russell, and that's in Tamworthy Free Church at 8 o'clock. And they should be able to get you in socially distanced. If you want to go to that meeting, Margaret has been a veteran missionary. She's been there for a long time in the mission field. We want to be there, as many of us as possible, to encourage her as she officially retires from the work in Kenya, where she served for several decades. Monday the 27th, we're still looking for people to come to Lurgan for that special Let the Bible Speak. And I know that Jonathan, who's a member of the committee there, will be exhorting you, getting you to come along. We need 40 people, and they're actually looking for a number now so that they can be certain there's enough people to sing that night and just to be present and put out this broadcast. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings. Just to let you know that during the past month, that's just fortnight, we've been able to send gifts to the following mission fields: to Kenya, Uganda, India, Pakistan, Romania. We've also been able to send a generous gift to the Emergency Aid Fund and a substantial grant for Bibles to be used on the mission field. So we thank you for those that have been giving so generously to missionary work, enabling us to do that. We continue to pray for the school that's heading towards completion. You'll see there the roof is on. Our sister's up on the roof giving instructions to the workmen, 30 workmen working on that site. And this is the wee school coming together for the children. We had agreed to help with this. We had a time of prayer with them. And so on the phone one day, we were able just to meet up with this group and pray with them that the Lord's blessing will be upon this project. You might be able to hear this, Clifford. So we'll try it anyhow. It's the children.
Thank you, God, for everything.
Okay, you understood that. It's not an Urdu. I understood it. And another little clip here.
God bless you.
So God blessed you. Okay, so that's just a wee word for the folks in Hebron and elsewhere that have helped with the project. We got this today from the Tharatara Centre. There's a new group of women coming in. They're learning to sew, as you see, and also studying the Word of God together. And we're praying for this outreach work that is being done in kind of a slum area, a fairly poor area, with our brother John and India Dipankar I didn't get the most recent picture put up. He sent me one there about 20 minutes ago of the young people coming together for their catechism classes. We continue to support the orphans. Pastor Sabine, he's been here, this pastor from Romania. Him and his wife had a little baby boy, so we do rejoice with him. It was actually Friday week ago. They had to go to the city of Timișoara, or his wife did. He couldn't go, whatever rules they have in Romania. Because of COVID, he couldn't go. But he did go to pick her up on Tuesday. Didn't see his wee boy for 4 days. But they're delighted. Some of you may have remembered this, most of you probably not. I didn't until my wife reminded me this morning. 15 years ago today, our new Hebron church building was opened to the glory of God. We thank God for every soul saved, every backslider restored, every saint edified, every young person called into Christian service, and every blessing from the hand of a gracious God. And as always we say, to God be the glory. We think of 1 Corinthians 15:58. I hope to preach that on Sunday night. There's my text, but just part of it as we give exhortation to Simon. I want to thank you for your support as we've stood together for the cause of Christ in the gospel. We are indeed laborers together. We sing together More About Jesus Would I Know, 406. Let's sing it heartily to the Lord before we come to the message.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace could I show, more of His saving through the sea, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, tell me more about Jesus.
Some of these verses again that we were reading last time. The words of Christ, as you know, as he speaks about the Comforter, the blessed Holy Spirit who would come. We're going to read from verse 12 of John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Ending the reading there at verse 26. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, we thank thee for your word, its quickness, its powerfulness, the sharpness of it. Thank thee for these words of Christ. He speaks here about the Comforter, that Comforter that the Father would send in his name. And we bless thee that we can sing with the hymn writer, the Comforter has come. Oh, we praise thee for the day of Pentecost, when he came in fullness, when he came with divine majesty and power. We thank thee that the disciples were filled, and filled ever since down through the centuries of time. Lord, you've given to us the blessed Holy Ghost of God, and he's here tonight, and he's in our hearts tonight. He's living and reigning within. And Lord, we pray that he will come and establish his word very firmly in our minds and hearts this evening. Oh, speak to us. We would say in the words of the hymn that we've just sung together, Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Help me now to bring the message in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're dealing with a neglected study, a study that should not be neglected by the people of God. Some Christians, even some preachers, avoid the doctrine of the Holy Spirit because of the abounding counterfeits which have infiltrated the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. The Apostle Paul warned of this, highlighting the subtlety of the devil who seeks to corrupt our minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul warned of any that might come and preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. And so the Corinthians would only be deceiving themselves if they were looking for a more excellent gospel
with better gifts of the Spirit and a more perfect doctrine of Jesus Christ. They should not listen to men who attempted to draw them away from those things which had brought them to Christ, and those men who had been the instruments of their conversion. Now, what Paul feared in his day, those early New Testament days of Christianity, has been a fear ever since, down through the succeeding generations, and not least in this present end time period, where the fruits of the charismatic movement abound in every shade and fashion. Perhaps no day can be described as being a day of error and falsehood and deception than this period that we're presently living in. That period that precedes the coming of our blessed Lord and Savior. We are drawing very close to the concluding decades of time, if we're not already in them. And it's very possible we are. Such a time is going to be characterized, our Savior told us, by many false prophets who shall deceive many. You read the sermon in Matthew 24. It goes on into chapter 25. But the opening half of Matthew 24, the Lord is telling us what the character of the age is going to be in which he's coming back again. And that age is going to be especially depicted by many false prophets who are going to deceive not a few people, but deceive many. It's the age more than ever of another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. Thinking of such a period of apostasy and falsehood before the coming of Christ, Paul said that we are not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. Warning about the spirit of Antichrist, John exhorts us to try the spirits, whether they are of God. And how do we do this? We bring what we see, what we hear, under the microscope of God's infallible word. And if it's not according to this truth, it's not of God. Because we're living in such a time with the modern day charismatic tendencies to the fore, and you just need to see a lot of the God channels there on television, there is a tendency to shy away from this doctrine of the Holy Spirit, lest we might be seen to be part and parcel of this present day that is very deception. But rather than avoid the subject, we must guard a proper biblical teaching upon the subject of the Holy Spirit and ever seek to proclaim the great truths which surround his person and work. He was never to be neglected by his church. We lose out greatly if we fail to give proper emphasis to the marvelous work and ministry of God's Spirit. And that's part of why we're having these meetings and this study on a Thursday night. We believe in the Holy Spirit in this church. I want to proclaim that. I want to say that to you very firmly. We believe in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in this church. We have noted the ministry of the Holy Spirit already with respect to the unconverted. He convicts. Okay. The first work of the Spirit in the heart of the sinner is to bring conviction of sin. A man needs to be brought to that place ere he's ever saved, where he feels his sin, where he knows it, where he senses it within. That's essential. Nobody can be saved until they feel conviction of sin. And then we said the second operation is to enlighten. The Holy Spirit enlightens the mind to spiritual truth, especially, you remember, sin, righteousness, and judgment. We saw how Paul used those other expressions in the book of Hebrews, enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about a people here who have felt the operation of the Spirit of God in their lives, but they're not saved. A people who have been convicted. A people who have been enlightened. Indeed, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. But that's not salvation. There's a third operation that is necessary to true conversion, and that is he regenerates. Regeneration is to do with the giving of life. It's the quickening work that takes place in the dead soul of the lost, whereby the life of God is imparted to him or her. It literally means new birth, born again. And we looked at the example briefly of John chapter 3, where the Lord meets with Nicodemus and gives him the command, you must be born again, a work of the Spirit, the mighty power of God. Now, once a man has experienced this initial work of the Spirit, he's been convicted, he's been enlightened, he's been regenerated, he's now a child of God, he's truly born again, he's converted, he's in Christ, he's on his way home, then the Holy Spirit exercises a wonderful ministry in his life and his daily walk with God. And last week, we looked at the wonderful reality that he indwells. Lives in you, child of God. Of all the truths revealed to us in Holy Scripture, one of the most amazing facts is this, that God himself dwells in the body of every believer by his Spirit. Upon the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit comes to abide. He comes to take residence. He comes to live in you and me. And that was promised in ancient times. I'm almost certain we cited Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 and 27. In both verses, the scripture speaks about a new spirit that will be put within us. It was promised by Christ before his atonement and ascension. We read it tonight. The night before the cross, as he has this talk with the disciples, here in John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. And I'll just take you to the end of verse 17, where he says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So this indwelling promised by Jesus Christ no doubt refers to the fact that the Holy Spirit would be given in a special way, in a greater way, with greater influence and power than ever before. He would be with them. He would be in them. And there is a great difference with and in. Today the indwelling Spirit is an evidence of salvation. And we quoted Romans chapter 8 with you in verse 9. You're not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Doesn't belong to him. You haven't got the Holy Spirit living in you. You don't belong to Christ. We are the temple of God. We must not offend him. We must not grieve him. We warned about mere professions by those who go on in certain sins, who persist in matters that are evidently unscriptural, who can go on quite merrily, it seems, without conviction. There's no inward promptings. There's not that willingness to put matters right. And it's likely those individuals were never truly converted. Oh, what a glorious truth this is. This body of mine is the temple or the shrine of God, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, dwells within. Now I come to the fifth fact he teaches. We read tonight, and I want to draw your attention now to our reading, John chapter 14, verse 26, where Jesus says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And later on, in this very same talk, in chapter 16 and verse 13, we have similar words. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you, teach you, guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Oh, he is the great instructor. For 3.5 years, these men had walked in the immediate presence of Christ. And Jesus Christ was the instructor. He was their master. He was the one that taught them every day by example and by word. He was present with them. And even now, the night before the cross, as he's sitting there at the table and the disciples are gathered around him, he's still instructing them. What a blessed passage this is. It would do a good study sometime. I commend it to you from chapter 13 and verse 31 right through to the end of chapter 15, or 16 rather, and you could take in the high priestly prayer of chapter 17. A marvelous, marvelous study in the great things that Jesus was teaching his disciples just before he died. But Christ is promising here another teacher, one whom the Father would send in response to the special request of Christ. And he would be the agent. He would be the representative of Christ on earth to his people. And to him would be committed a special task to teach the disciples all things. The Holy Spirit was given to the world to reprove the world. But he's given to the church to teach the church, to teach them all things. And he would especially bring to their memory those important truths that Christ had already taught them. I want to think about that. It's mentioned there in verse 26 of chapter 14, at the end of the verse. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When I'm gone, I'm ascended to heaven, I've left the earth, the Spirit of God will come, the Blessed Comforter, he's going to teach you. And one of the principal things that he's going to teach you is that which I've already taught you. He's going to bring to your memory those things that I instructed you for that 3.5 year period of time. The Holy Spirit would teach them, not teach them a new gospel. He would remind them of what Jesus Christ had taught them during his time among them. And this indeed is the proper work of the Holy Spirit, to teach, to interpret, and to explain all those things that Jesus had revealed to these men, so that they might grasp the same truths more deeply and then be able to teach them to others. The Holy Spirit trains us, believer. He educates us. He takes away our ignorance. You know, we labor under an immense weakness, and that is a proneness to forget. Tonight, and you've forgotten things today. I'm sure there's been some time during the day and you've been wondering now, where are my glasses? You ever hear that? Where's my phone? Anybody in your house would set those things somewhere, and if it's the phone, could you ring me? You know, you have to ring just to see where the phone's going to ring out, and that's how you find it. Don't want to embarrass anyone whatsoever, but we do have a proneness to forget. How often truth, the truth of God, slips from our minds, and we forget. You know, they say that only 1/6 of a message is ever remembered by the average person. I suppose as a preacher you have to lament over that. Think of all you people go away, and most of you, if you've been listening, are only going to remember a sermon. What was I preaching on Sunday morning? Well, at least you have the clue. We're in Mark, aren't we? It's immense weakness. It's the proneness to forget. What about your Bible reading this morning? Now, there's a question. What do you remember of what you read? Did you read a chapter today? I trust that you did, at least one. Did you read a chapter? Can you tell me anything about it? Very often as the day goes on, I don't remember either. I just happen to know that I'm studying David and Saul and that portion of the Word of God, so I could make a fair attempt tonight at it. But do you remember what you read this morning? Or how much did you read? You see, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us. But we also need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring to mind that which we have read and that which we have been taught. And you want to pray over this. You want to pray for a better memory. You want to pray for this work of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God will teach you and He will bring to your memory those things that you've been taught. You know, God has given to us pastors and teachers, and we thank God for the ministry. That's the ministry, week by week, Sabbath by Sabbath, Bible study by Bible study, Thursday night, whatever night it might be. And we thank God for pastors and for teachers. And He's raised up some tremendous Bible expositors, men with understanding and ability who know the Word and can really explain a passage of Scripture. And I thank God for such men like Matthew Henry. If I was abandoned somewhere on a desert island and I was able to bring three books with me, what would I bring? Well, I'd bring my Bible. And I think I would bring the hymn book. I wouldn't want to lose my song. And I'd probably bring Matthew Henry. I have the various volumes, but if we could only bring three, I would bring the abridged volume of Matthew Henry. I thank God for men like him. He's one of the first, the second person, I think, on the wall in the fellowship area of the Heroes of the Faith. And many of you have Matthew Henry and you enjoy reading him. We thank God for Bishop J.C. Ryle. There's not a grander exposition of the Gospels, in my opinion, than J.C. Ryle on the four Gospels. And I know some of you have those volumes also. And we thank God for men like Spurgeon. If you want probably what is the best commentary on the Psalms, the Treasury of David, compiled by the great Spurgeon. And God has gifted to His church theologians and scholars. And we're indebted to these men. Men like Hodge and Shedd and Burkhoff and Calvin. The Westminster Divines. We have the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger and the shorter catechism, putting down the doctrines of the Word of God, the theology, so that we might know what we believe, what the Bible teaches. You know, Mrs. Kearns, I put Dr. Kearns in there too. One of the theologians gifted to our denomination. We thank God for them, and his dictionary on Bible terms is not far away from my hand in my study. But the teacher of all teachers, the instructor of all instructors, is the one whom the Father has sent in Christ's name. The blessed Comforter who abides with and in his people, the Holy Spirit himself. And we need to pray for his ministry, his teaching in our lives. When you listen to a sermon on a Sabbath day or the Thursday night Bible study or any other time, you want to lift your heart to the Lord and you want to say, Spirit of God, my teacher be, just like we sang earlier. I want to bow your head when you come into church and sit in the pew or in the seat. It used to be everybody that came to church bowed the head. As soon as they took their place in church, they bowed the head. And they shot up a prayer, Lord, speak to me today. You want to do that? And ask the Lord to come by His Spirit and teach you. When you lift a book to read about doctrine, or eschatology. Eschatology is just those future events, so those things that are yet to be, prophecy if you like, or any other Bible related subject. You want to cry out for wisdom, because we want to have right views, sound views, biblical views when it comes to Christ. That's so important. When it comes to any doctrine, when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to revival, when it comes to the Christian life, you want to know what the Bible teaches and have proper views. Pray to the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. And when you open the book of all books, the scriptures of truth, it should always be with that prayer of heart and soul. Oh, Holy Spirit, instruct me. Teach me now the things of God, and he will come. If you pray, and you're earnest in your prayer, he will come by, and he will teach you. He will hear your cry. He will come alongside. He's the comforter. And he will do that as your comforter and advocate, and he will open up divine truth to you. Oh, it's a privilege for every believer to be taught of God. Imagine that. The Almighty coming by the Holy Spirit and teaching you when you read the Bible or when you sit and listen to a sermon. It's a privilege to be taught of him. We need this ministry. We must have such an instructor and guide when it comes to divine truth. Our comprehension of truth is limited. Our minds are finite, and they are restricted. Turn just for a moment, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and note verse 11, just down the next few verses there, to verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, mark verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, which really is a reference to the unconverted, he can't perceive divine truth. But you and I have the Holy Spirit living in us. These temples of ours house him. And he comes to teach us. He comes to instruct us. We cannot understand aright with our own human intellect and wisdom. There's no good thing dwells within our flesh, that is. And so we need the Holy Ghost. Sometimes there's a passage of scripture that perplexes us. Maybe not. But I tell you, for me, many times when I'm reading, I'm perplexed. I can't understand some of the things that I read. We fail to grasp the meaning and perceive the interpretation. We turn it over and over in our minds, and we cannot make anything of it. And we look up the commentaries, and we read what the commentaries have to say, and we go to Matthew Henry, and we go to Dr. Gill. But even they very often don't deal with a hard text, a dark passage. But when we have no commentary, when we have no minister, we have the Holy Spirit of God to go to, who can interpret the word. Oh, bend the knee. Pray. And pray again. Lord, teach me your word. Teach me to understand. I listened to a sermon by Mr. Spurgeon entitled The Holy Spirit, the Great Teacher. And he said that the Holy Spirit has methods of teaching. And I jotted some of these things down. He said the Holy Spirit excites an interest in their minds. He excites an interest. Many people have not got their energies aroused when they come to the Bible or when they come on the Sabbath day to listen to God's word. But when we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he excites us about the word. He excites their interest in the truths of the Bible. You want to know the truths, and you want to get into those truths. He gives to a man a teachable spirit. You know, there's many a person, even Christians, and they haven't got a teachable spirit. But the man that has been led of the Spirit, he sits down at the feet of Christ, and he's willing to learn. He's willing to be instructed. He sets truth in a clearer light. He makes us understand those things that we never saw before. Some men I have met have had a simple mind and heart, but they've had great understanding in the scriptures, and they've grasped the things of God. You met people like that. George Trivett, really a simple man in a good sense, uneducated, couldn't read or write. The man that I met whenever I was the minister in Oulton Broad of England, and before I came to England, he was converted, but he was converted as an old man, and he wept before God to be able to read, so that he could read the Bible. And his textbook was the Word of God, was the authorized version of the Scripture, and he learned to read. We used to read around in a prayer meeting, and he was able to read just like any other man. Got to read. And George knew the Word, knew what was expected of him, knew how to live the Christian life. I was visiting a wee woman the other day. I got a phone call, but I go and see a certain lady. She had some connection to our church away in the past, just a little old lady. I don't think she's been out of church for years, but as I sat just there beside my seat was a cabinet with books in it, and there were volumes of Spurgeon and sermons of Spurgeon. And she told me, you know, can't get out the Lord's Day. I says, have you got the internet? You don't have the internet. She says, I read a sermon of Spurgeon. That wee woman knew the Lord. Knew the Lord. She was taught of the Spirit, undoubtedly. Oh, there's some people like that. They don't understand science. They don't understand business. They don't understand medicine. They don't understand grammar. But they've got a grasp of divine truth because they're taught of God. And Spurgeon also said that the Holy Spirit refreshes the memory. All the old treasures of divine truth that are there in the mind, he shows them to us again and again. And where does he teach us? This is so important, isn't it, in this crazy age of the charismatics. When men are seeking after the sensational, he teaches us through the Word of God. As we read it for ourselves. As we sit in church. As we listen to a sermon. As we seek to be a witness to others. As we hold a conversation. The Holy Spirit will use God's Word, but bring God's Word to our memory. The Holy Spirit never speaks independently of the written Word. The written Word of God. In other words, he will never tell you something that's contrary to this book. A man says to you, God has spoken to me. You hear people talking to God. God has spoken to me. And here's the message that he's given. And that message is not in keeping with the revealed Word of God in the volume of divine truth. Don't believe him. The Spirit of God will never lead contrary to the Word that he wrote. The Spirit of God wrote this Bible. He's the author of it. And he leads his pupils. And the instrument through which he instructs them is the Word. The sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Holy Ghost is the Word of God. I want you to understand that we shall never truly know the truth until we're taught by the Holy Spirit. Until he opens up the teachings of this book to our minds and hearts. No amount of human teaching, no matter who our teachers might be, will ever give us the correct and exact and full appreciation and apprehension of God's truth. And this is so for the sinner. And we've seen that in the ministry, that the Spirit of God needs to teach the sinner or you'll never know. And it's so for the saint of God. And Jesus says here, he will teach you all things, John 14:26. Jesus says he will guide you into all truth, chapter 16 and verse 13. How we need to pray, therefore, for this ministry. Every time I come to this book, Lord, speak to me. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. That ought to be our prayer. Give me understanding the things of God. Oh, teach me, blessed Spirit of God, for thou art the great teacher and the great instructor of your people. And the Lord bless us and help us to be more dependent upon the Spirit of God. And we come to the Bible and we come to the Word. He is the teacher. He will guide you into all truth. Let's sing our wee chorus that we've been singing these nights. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
We'll sing this a couple of times. We will mention a few prayer requests, and then we'll say good night to those that are listening in on the internet. Let's just rise to our feet and let's sing it prayerfully to the Lord.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Mission, but under the circumstances, as good as we can get. Let's pray for the month of October. So we come to our wee season of prayer. I want to thank those that have joined us on the internet through various means, sermon audio, Facebook, YouTube, whatever the case might have been. And we trust the Lord will bless you in your home. Some of you will go now and have a time of prayer, I know, but may the Lord be with you and His Spirit.